I'd like to read a scripture today in the book of John, chapter 1. I invited a woman by the name of Melanie. Is she here? No? Okay. John chapter 1. In verse 35, again on the morrow, there stood John and two of his disciples, and looking at Jesus as he walked, he says, "Behold the Lamb of God." I wish to call attention today to the Lamb of God. I want to interest you in God's Lamb. John the Baptist was one of the most outstanding preachers ever recorded in the Holy Bible. He is so honored in sacred scripture. And he preached a five-worded sermon this day. Five words. But what an effect it had. You know, there are many preachers who have gone on, and many preachers alive today, and they never see the fruit of their labors. Only that day will tell, when Christ comes and all is manifested, that they will see the fruit of the labors of their hands. John the Baptist was one of those preachers. You don't know all that he preached. You don't know all that was effected. But there were seeds sown, and there were souls converted. And in this section that we're on today, in John chapter 1, there were two of his disciples standing listening. John was standing, and two of his disciples were standing there listening. Are there two here today who has come to hear the word of God? All the Lord is looking for is two people. Are they going to be you and you? Or you and you? I remember being in a gospel preaching in Gardenstown in the north of Scotland, and the preacher says, "The very man in the back seat in the corner." And there's a little boy there. And that little boy gave his heart to Jesus, Willie Hepburn. You know, I'm reminded of a story as I start here, that there was a little boy and girl, and the laboring brother coming through, and he had a special gospel preaching. And the parents thought that the children, they wouldn't understand what the preacher was saying. So they decided that the two children, he was 7 years old and maybe 4 years old, they would leave them at home with a babysitter, because it would be crowded out, it would be too late, and it would be too crowded. So after the parents had left to go to the gospel meeting, the little boy of seven got his the organ stool and put it in front of the stairs. And he got all the dolls set up, and he called his little sister. And he says, "We're going to have a gospel preaching, and we'll sing of the shepherd that died. That died for the sake of the flock." And after they sang, he took a drink of water from his tumbler. And he says, "We'll read in Psalm 23. The Lord's my shepherd." And all he said was, "Is he yours?" And the little girl gave her heart to the Lord Jesus. And instantly, is there a little girl here, a little boy? Is there someone here who has not given their heart to Jesus? He is the shepherd, the good shepherd. That's not our subject, I know. He is the Lamb of God. That's our subject. But the good shepherd is on the lookout. He's on the lookout for boys and girls. And if there's a boy or a girl here today who has never yet committed their life to the Lord Jesus, we appeal to you. You can give your heart to him. And like that little girl in Scotland, you can give your heart to Jesus and instantly you can be saved. You can be sure. We were speaking this morning about predestination. It's a big word, but it means where you're going to be destined to. And you can be sure of your destiny in heaven. Now, I'd like to speak about the Lamb of God in three aspects. The first aspect is the promise and the provision of God. Secondly, I would like to speak about the preaching, the proclamation of God. And thirdly, I would like to speak about the power and the preeminence of the Lamb of God. The promise and the first promise of God as regards the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ in the Bible, you'll find it in Genesis chapter 3, when it speaks about the promised seed. Not seeds, but seed. And the seed of the woman was promised in Genesis chapter 3. What God was looking forward to was for the sacrifice of sin. John the Baptist, when he stood up the first time he is recorded, he says, "Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world." That's what God promised. Was that God would be brought to him. You know, Peter, one of the greatest preachers that ever lived, he says, "He died the just for the unjust to bring us to God." There's nothing greater for the human but to be brought to God. That's God's thought, that you would be brought to him. And how has he done that? By promise. He promised that a man would come to redeem lost and ruined sinners like Adam and Eve back to himself. My question to you is today, have you been brought back? If not, why not? As I proceed, I would like to tell you that, and to remind you that this, we've never been gathered like this before. Never been gathered quite like this. And it's an absolute fact that we will never be gathered just like this again. Someone will be missing. Perhaps I won't be here the next time. What if this is the last gospel meeting you'll be at? What if this is the last time that you will hear the gospel? God, help me to speak words of plain, clear thunder blast, warning to your heart that you would not be lost, but that you would be brought to God. The greatest preacher, Paul, he says, "I am not ashamed of the glad tidings, for it is God's power to salvation to everyone that believes." Oh, dear friend, just be believing. To everyone that believes. There's power in the gospel. I don't know what's holding you back. The preacher doesn't know that answer. But God knows and you know. And there's power in the gospel to break every chain that's holding you from coming to the Savior. So John the Baptist says on this day, he stood and he cried. You know, in the New Testament, every preacher of the gospel, it says, they lifted up their voice. John stood and cried, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Oh, if we could just today, if we could just catch a glimpse of him. It's like the old Swedish poet who was blind, and he wrote these words: when with joy we thus behold him, when his glory fills our sight, gladly we his rights acknowledge, object blessed of heaven's delight. Then our hearts bow down before him. This world's glory waxes dim. Every hindrance then must vanish. All be subject unto him. Two of his disciples here heard him speak and followed Jesus. Oh, what an answer to the gospel call. John was a preacher who went out and multitudes went to hear him. And he cried, repent, repent, repent. That was the clarion call of John the Baptist, and it has been that message of every preacher of the gospel in every clime, in every century. Repent. You need to repent. What is repentance? Repentance is a right about turn on the road to hell. The only good thing about the broad way is that there's room to turn. And you can get on the narrow way as quick as that. All you have to do is to look and see the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God. If you could see him, you would say, that's for me. We'll speak about that later. But in speaking about the promises, I would like you to turn to Galatians chapter, the Epistle to the Galatians. Chapter 4 and verse 23, where it speaks of the promise. It says, but he that was of the maidservant was born according to flesh. And he that was of the free woman through the promise. Who's this speaking of? This is speaking of two men, and one of them of the spirit of the promise was Isaac. And God had his mark on Isaac. And Abraham, in Genesis 22, where this scripture comes from in Galatians, speaks of Abraham being called of God and tested by God. And God said to Abraham, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom you love. And Abraham had two sons. But God says to him, your only son. And this is speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ, God's only son. And you'll find this in Genesis chapter 22. Let's go over to Genesis 22 and see what we're speaking about. I must remind you, older brethren here, and I'm sure you've heard this before, that the New Testament is in the Old concealed, and the Old Testament is in the New revealed. There's one thing about the Old Testament, that there are things said that are quite opaque unless you read the New Testament. For example, we were speaking about looking and living. Well, there's a brazen serpent, and all they had to do was look and live. And that's the same with John the Baptist saying, behold the Lamb of God, look. So here in Genesis chapter 22, it says, we could read in verse 2. And God said, he said, take now thy son, thine only son, whom thou lovest, Isaac, and get thee into the land of Moriah. And there offer up him up for a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. This is Mount Moriah. There are three mountains in the Old Testament called the Mountain of God. Moriah, Horeb, and Zion. And this is the first one mentioned, Moriah. And it speaks of God is going to bless. And how is he going to bless? Well, you've got to go to the next mountain. And what is the result of the blessing? You've got to go to the next mountain. But here it is that God is going to bless. And Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went to the place that God had told him of. Then if you go down a little further, it says in verse 7, and Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire in the wood, but where is the sheep for a burnt offering? And Abraham, it says, and Abraham said, verse 8, my son, God will provide himself with the sheep. It was pointed out to me last night that it's not our sheep, it's the sheep. God has provided. First, it is the son of promise, it is the promises of God. Secondly, the provision of God. God will provide who? Abraham? No. Himself. So when we think of the great matter of sin that has come into the world, we can say that God has been offended and God moves out from his side. He has to move first from his side to meet the attack of the enemy in sin. And so he does that here. This is a beautiful story in type of God the Father and the Son, Jesus Christ. Isaac being representing Jesus Christ. And Isaac was offered up. And it never says that Isaac came down from the mountain. You say, why is that? It's because Isaac never came down from the mountain. It's like Jesus Christ is in heaven. He was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. And he's ascended at God's right hand as a prince and a savior. And now he's sitting in the heavens, waiting with hands outstretched to bless those who will come to him for forgiveness. I commend that to you. Now that is the promise and the provision of God. Then there is the proclamation and the preaching. And that for that we have to go to Isaiah for the preaching. Isaiah in chapter 53 says, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Have you believed the report? Has the arm of the Lord been revealed? It's not somebody rolling up their sleeves and showing you their arm. This is the arm of God that's able to save. Mighty, willing, able to save. The strength and power of the salvation of God. Paul says, I am not ashamed of the glad tidings. For it is God's power to salvation to everyone that believes. So in Isaiah 53, and this is opened up in the New Testament, in Acts chapter 8, when there was an evangelist and he was told to run and catch a chariot that was moving fastly across the desert. And the Lord said to Philip, the evangelist, run and catch up with the chariot. And he did. And when he got there, the man in the chariot was reading. What was he reading? Isaiah 53. What part of Isaiah 53 was he reading? Well, we could turn there and find out. Isaiah 53. If I could find it in my book, it was there this morning. Isaiah 53. We could read the whole chapter and it all speaks about the Lamb of God. You know, in the corporate world in Los Angeles, I worked beside a lot of Jewish people. All the bosses in the corporation that I worked in were Jewish. And with a name like Wiseman, you know, and like a burglar. But a remarkable thing happened during the falling of the Twin Towers. You remember those days? There was a certain godliness for maybe 2 or 3 weeks. And during that time, the hierarchy, the president and the vice president of the company asked me to give the invocation and the prayer at the business meetings. And there's one part of the scripture that they would not accept, and that was Isaiah 53. And they say, the Jewish people today say, that this speaks about the Jew. Well, of course it speaks about our Jew. His name is Jesus Christ. He is the Messiah of Israel. He is the Messiah. And the word Messiah, a Jewish word, really translated means the Christ. So the question is, do you believe the report about the Christ? Do you believe the report about the Messiah? You say, well, that doesn't affect me because I'm a Gentile. We've been speaking about the Gentiles. Turn over to John chapter 21. And you'll see how much it bears upon the Gentile. John 21. And just before chapter 21, in verse 31 of chapter 20, it says, "But these are written that ye may believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that believing we might have life in his name." It's so important in the preaching of the gospel that you believe Christ. It's a wonderful thing to believe in the work of Christ. The work of Christ has been completed. The work of Christ is done on the cross. We preach Christ. When Paul went to Corinth, he says, I didn't want to come to you with grand, eloquent speeches, but I came to you in weakness. I didn't want to speak to you from man's intelligence, from the neck up. No, he says, I wanted to know nothing among you, Corinthians, but Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's the message of the glad tidings. We are to believe in Jesus Christ. His person. Behold, the Lamb of God. He is the Christ of God, the Lamb of God. So in Isaiah 53, now let's go back there again in verse 7, and you'll read what the man in the chariot that we were speaking about was reading. In verse 7, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, but he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and was as a sheep dumb before her shearers, and he opened not his mouth. He was taken from oppression and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? Who here? For his life was taken out of the land of the living. He was cut off. Now turn over to Acts chapter 8. And we'll see there what the man was reading. Acts chapter 8. And verse 31. Or we can start at verse 30. And Philip, running up, heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. You know, it's good to be heard reading the Bible. Don't be afraid. Don't be embarrassed. If someone comes up to you at school or at work or when you're playing and they hear you reading and they say, "What are you reading?" I went into the bank one day, North Hollywood. And I went in there at lunchtime. There's a line out the door. The computers were down. And there's the girl in front of me was reading a Bible. And I said to her, "What are you reading?" She says, "It's my lunch hour. Don't speak to me." I said, "But you're reading the Bible. Don't speak to me." So just with that, I turned around and I spoke to two girls behind me. And I said, "She's reading a Bible. You know, you don't need a Bible to go to heaven. You need a link with the Savior. Do you have a link with the Savior?" "No." So I told them about the Savior and his dying love and how he bled on the cross of Calvary and how he was a Savior of sinners. And if we believe in him, we go to heaven. "If you die tonight," that's one of my favorite questions. "If you die tonight, would you go to heaven? Would you be sure of going to heaven?" And the two girls says, "No, we would not be sure." And just with that, the woman who was reading the Bible said, "Are you leading them to Christ? I want to be part of it." But you know, you can be saved immediately, right now. You don't have to wait for an altar call. You can be saved right now. Behold the Lamb of God. This man was reading the Bible in Acts 8 and verse 30. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Approach and join this chariot." And Philip, running up, heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, "Dost thou know what thou art reading of?" And he said, "How should I know unless someone guide me?" And he begged Philip to come up and sit with him. And the passage of the scriptures which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to slaughter, and as a lamb is dumb in the presence of him that shears him, thus he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." And the eunuch, answering Philip, said, "I pray thee, concerning whom does the prophet speak? Say this, of himself or of some other?" And Philip preached to him the gospel of Christ. And the eunuch says, "What? Here's water." They were passing by a pool of water. He says, "What hinders me from being baptized?" Tonight I'm not asking if you're baptized. The preacher's not asking if you're taking Holy Communion. The preacher is asking tonight, have you seen Jesus? Have you beheld the Lamb of God? Have you accepted him as your Savior? Are you born again? This blessing can be yours before you leave your seat. You can come to know the Lord Jesus. We appeal to you. We beg you, as ambassadors for himself, be reconciled to God. God has come out in Christ and the man of promise. The man of his counsels, he has come out in fullest blessing. Jesus, the Savior of sinners. All you have to do is behold him. And like two of his disciples, John's disciples, it says two of his disciples heard him. Are you hearing? Are you one of those two today who hears the call of God in the gospel? And you're prepared to follow Jesus? Are you following? Who are you following? Everybody is following someone. Everybody tries to dress like someone. to please someone, to look like someone. There's a man came, a laboring brother, to my hometown in Scotland, and this is how he had a habit of doing this. And all the young boys started doing this. See, we all copy someone. It says these two disciples, they followed Jesus. Jesus will notice you if you're following him. He turned round. Is the Lord Jesus turning round and seeing you today, following? God is watching. The Lord is looking. He's looking for an answer to the gospel message. Behold the Lamb of God. Two of his disciples heard John speaking and followed Jesus. Jesus turning around, seeing them following, says, what do you seek? There's a boy in the north of Scotland, and he said that he would give his life to Christ if he had £500 in the bank. It never happened. He didn't live long enough to have 500 in the bank. Beware, lest it take thee away through chastisement. Then a great ransom would not avail thee. God is speaking to you today. Behold, now is the well-accepted time. Behold, today is the day of salvation. You must be saved now. Don't put it off. Don't be a fool. So they said to Jesus, where do you abide? Where do you live? He says, come and see. And it says they went. They followed him and they went to where he lived. Do you know where he lives? He lives in the Father's bosom. He's the Son, the well-beloved Son who dwells in the bosom of the Father. Think of being brought to a place where there is divine affections. You go out into the world, into the streets of the United States and Canada and Scotland, Ireland, wherever you may come from, and you'll find there hatred, aggression, violence, cursing. But in the place where Jesus lives, there's blessing, there's love, divine affections, and better than all, there's the presence of God and the presence of Jesus. Do you know it? Have you been brought there? The old Scottish preacher says it's better felt than telt. And unless you've been there, you don't know what it is. The invitation is going out today. The Lord is asking, what do you seek? You want money? You'll get it. You want fame? You'll get it. You want power? You'll get it. You want acclamation? This world will give it to you. The world is the gold bedecked cage that leads Satan's captives to the lake of fire. You don't want to be part of that. You want to be following Jesus to where Jesus dwells, where the love of God is known and where the name of Jesus is enshrined, the Lamb of God. He's enshrined in this sphere, this realm where he lives. Where do you go? It says it was about the 10th hour. You know, the number 10 speaks of responsibility. The gospel is preached on the basis of responsibility. We are responsible persons. I know the word is not in the Bible, responsibility. The word duty is not in the Bible. But where would we be without it? You are responsible. There's a man called Daniel Webster who invented Webster's Dictionary. I don't know if invented is a word, but that's what he's famous for. And someone asked him, what is the most exalted thought that ever entered the human mind? That's quite a question. Webster says, my accountability to God. You are accountable to God. Meet God. You must have preached in the open air for about 5 years with this old man in Peterhead. And every time he got to the street corner, he said, meet God, you must. You can meet him today as a savior. Or you could put it off and never come to him and meet him as a judge. It is our invitation that you would meet him as a savior God and that you would be brought to God. Now, when we come to the last section that I have in mind to speak about, it's the power and the preeminence of the Lamb. And for that, we must go to the book of Revelation, because in there it speaks about the Lamb's glory. The glory of the Lamb, how God has come into the mediatorial economy to make his things known to man. What a God we have to do with in the gospel. A God that wants man near to him. And in the book of Revelation chapter 5, the great choir, the great chorus is raised. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah. And all in heaven are united in praising the Lamb of God. Glory and power and wisdom, honor, adoration to the Lamb. Are you amongst that choir? Are you singing the praises of God? What kind of songs do you sing? You know, the first song ever mentioned in the Bible is the song of Moses. Do you know who the last song is? Yeah, you're right. Song of Moses and the Lamb. You're singing it? Do you know the words? You come into this circle where Jesus is living, where the Son of God, the Lamb of God, where he abides, you will learn the words pretty quickly. And it is in this sphere where the Lamb of God is preeminent. Preeminent means he's first in everything. He has the first place in everything. It's like in Colossians, where we read in chapter 3, Christ is everything and in all. That's preeminent. He is before all. And he is in all. And he's through all. And that's the sphere that he is in heaven at the present time. Very soon he'll be made public. He will come out in public manifestation. And what has been hidden in God, in Christ, for these 2,000 years that has been secreted up into glory, into God's right hand, he will come again. The book of Revelation speaks about the marriage of the Lamb. It speaks about the wrath of the Lamb. And it speaks of the Lamb's book of life. All that has to do with the power and preeminence of the Lamb of God. When it comes to the book of life, Psalm 87, it says, Jehovah will count, God will count, the Lord will count. This one was born there. He'll take one of a city and two of a family, bring them to Zion, counting them as they come in. Have you been counted? The Lamb's book of life. Now when Christ comes out in heavenly glory, you've seen him in reproach as the Lamb of God. But when he comes out in heavenly glory and his bride is with him, he will come out as having been married. And it's called the marriage of the Lamb. Very soon it's going to take place. And those who belong to the Lord Jesus and have given their hearts and lives to Jesus form part of that heavenly company called the Bride of Christ. Today she is the wife of Christ. She is responsible where Christ has been refused and rejected. But in that coming day she will come forth as the Bride of Christ. And in the eternal day, later on in the book of Revelation, we'll read of that eternal state where John saw the New Jerusalem coming out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. That's after he has come out and the kingdom has been gone through, and the glory of God has been revealed, not only in Christ himself and in his face publicly, but in the church. Dear friends, my book is closed, and the time has come for me to close. These precious things that we've been speaking of, the Lamb of God and the presence of Christ now, to know it. We know the presence of Christ now in the power of the Holy Spirit, by faith and in the Spirit. Those are two pillars in the Christian's life. Faith, the Holy Spirit. Scripture speaks of holy faith. But very soon we are going to be called to heaven. I believe, and I may be one of the few who believe, that the rapture is imminent. What does that mean? It means it can happen any time. It can happen next Tuesday. It can happen tonight. It can happen before we leave this room. The rapture. Christ coming to call his church to heavenly glory. It can happen any moment. I believe that. Are you ready? Are you ready to go? Are you ready to follow him? May the Lord bless his word for his name's sake. Of our hearts in prayer. Our God and Father, we turn to thee as the Savior God who willeth not the death of any. But you sent your only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, to be the Savior of sinners. And we trust that everyone here in this hall would be able to say, Christ is the Savior of sinners. Christ is the Savior for me. Long I was held in sin's darkness. Now by his grace I am free. Father, bless everyone who has heard this word tonight, especially the young people here, everyone known to thee, every name, every boy, every girl. We thank you for them being here, and we pray that you would follow them up and that they would become followers of Jesus. And we pray for this assembly. We pray for the old woman here, the older woman. Thank you for them. Pray for the older men. And we ask that their prayers be answered. We pray for the young men and the young women, young fathers and mothers. Put a hedge around them. Keep them from the power of Satan. Keep them for thy kingdom. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.